Now, if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms and to Psalm number 25, the 25th Psalm. And we have been singing in our hymns about the storms of life, the troubles, the trials that we face as the people of God. And the psalmist David was no stranger to troubles and trials. So we're reading from Psalm 25 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hit me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his own inspired and infallible word. Let's just bow briefly and ask God's help upon the ministry of his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy presence already with us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word that is truly a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we pray just now, O God, that thou wouldst draw very strangely near. Bless thy word to every waiting heart, we ask of thee. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth, I pray. Touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar. And fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. And grant, Lord, that we might be faithful to the very souls of men and women. Bless us now, Lord, as we wait on in thy presence. For we ask all these things in the Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I think it was the great missionary David Livingstone who said, "I had rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than to be upon the throne of England and be out of the will of God." And in this 25th Psalm of the psalmist David, David is in trouble and he is seeking and searching and inquiring from God, and he wants to know the will of God, and he wants to do the will of God. He says in verse 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." We're not exactly sure just when this psalm was written by the psalmist David, but the consensus of the Bible commentators and scholars say that it was during the time of the rebellion by his son Absalom and those who came against him, and how he prays that he might not be put to shame, that the enemies might not triumph over him. No, the Bible says in the book of Job, and we often hear the words, particularly at a funeral service, the words of Job 14, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Scripture also says, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." And if you read through this psalm and you take note of the times that David speaks about the things that afflicted him and the trials that he faced and the trouble he was in, you realize that the psalmist David, just like you and just like me, he had good days, he had bad days, he had hard times, he had good times. Someone once said that as you read through the book of Psalms, every expression of the human heart, all its sorrows, all its heartaches, all its cares, all its troubles, all its worries, and yet all its joys and all its exuberance and all its blessings, they are all recorded for us here in this wonderful book of Psalms. And I want you to think with me for a moment or two, first of all, about the psalmist David. First of all, thinking that the psalmist's troubles were many. That's very evident as you read down through this psalm. He says at the last verse, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." So he had many troubles. Verse 17 says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses." And as you read about David, we read about a man who was the sovereign, who was king, and here he is attacked by his enemies. He is entrapped in troubles and difficulties. He is isolated at times from the people who would support him and help him. We've read there he has been discouraged, he is distressed, and he is hated by his foes. He says in verse 19, "Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred." The old gospel hymn says that this vile world, it is not a friend of grace to help you or to help me unto God. We realize that the Christian, as we seek to walk the Christian life, have many, many enemies. Bible teachers have often summed them up as the unholy trinity of the world and the flesh and the devil who come against us. And these enemies, the old devil, he goeth about, the Bible says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And David faced the lion physically when he was a shepherd boy. He said, "When I minded my father's flocks," he says, "the lion came against me." He says, "The bear came against me." And with his slingshot stone, he slew the lion. And he slew the bear. But the old devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can't ensnare and entrap and turn the people of God aside by his ferocious roar and his fierceness and persecution and hardship and difficulty, then the old devil comes along, as the Bible says, like an angel of light, to deceive us and to distract us and to turn us away from following after the Lord. But the psalmist speaks here about his troubles. And his troubles, they are many. They are many in number. There are a multitude of troubles that he faced from day to day. He speaks about his enemies, and he had his enemies. He speaks there about the afflictions that afflicted him. He talks about his afflictions and his troubles. In verse 16, he says, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Desolate and afflicted. You know, in Psalm 34, the psalmist says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." I remember when I came to know Christ as my own and personal Savior, I thought that was the end of all my troubles and all my trials and all my difficulties. And then I realized that God's people, they're not immune from the troubles and the cares of this world. As someone says, the sun shines on the just and on the unjust. The rain falls upon the just and on the unjust. And every one of us, we have trials and troubles. One great preacher said, when we think about a congregation, there are folk there in that congregation, and they have just come out of trouble. And there are folk in that congregation, and they are going through trouble. And there are folk in that congregation, and they are just about to face some trouble or some difficulty. So maybe if everything seems for you today to be plain sailing and everything is going well, just take this little word from God on board, because we know not what a day may bring forth, and we know not what trouble or trial or hardship or difficulty or affliction or care may fall across our path. And it's good just to do as David did and to seek the Lord in the time of his troubles. He asked the Lord to look upon me in his affliction. He even speaks about his pains. "Look upon me, mine affliction," verse 18, "and my pain, and forgive my sins." He had troubles. David had troubles in his family with the rebellion of his son against him, and other difficulties in the family. And he was fearful because of his enemies who had come against him. And then he's frail even in his own body, and he speaks about these afflictions. And in verse 11, he says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." And he thinks about his own failure and his own folly and his own sin and his own transgression. And as the Bible says, man is born into trouble because we're born as fallen men and women. When our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden, and they plunged the whole human race that was to come into an estate of sin and misery, then we are born into a fallen world. And there are trouble, and there are problems, and there is sickness, and there is death. And that's the way it is in this world. And there's hardships and problems and difficulties. But even sometimes, just like David, because of his own personal sin and his own folly, we can bring things even upon our own head. David, he says, "There are many are the afflictions of the righteous," in Psalm 34 and verse 19. But he says, "The Lord delivereth him out of them all." Over in Psalm 119, there's a lovely verse there in verse 67. And David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." David says, "Before I was afflicted." Sometimes if we stray, if we fall, if we falter, if we fail, sometimes the Lord allows affliction to come that we may throw ourselves back upon Him and cast our care upon Him and cast our soul upon Him. And the Bible does teach us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And sometimes that's very hard to see when we're in the midst of trouble and difficulty. It's hard to see how these things in the providence of God will work out for God's glory and for our good. And the psalmist says there in verse 9, for instance, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach in His way. And that little word guide could be translated bend. The meek will He bend in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. And sometimes the Lord has to, as it were, bend us. We have to be willing to be bent. It's like an archer. And he takes the wood. But the wood has to be bent if it is to be a bow that will send the arrow speeding through the air to its target. And so to be used, it has to be bent. And someone once said, God uses broken things. We're only human and we're frail, and yet God can take us up and God can use us for His name and for His eternal glory. And He says, the meek will He bend, or will He guide in judgment. Before I was afflicted, He says, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. And so the psalmist's troubles were many. He was afflicted. He had pains. He remembered his sin, his transgression, his iniquity. He prays that the Lord would pardon him, for he says, mine iniquity is great. Just like you, just like me, the psalmist's troubles were many. But it's not all doom or gloom. The psalmist's troubles were many, but I want you to notice that the psalmist's trust was manifest. He says in verse 2, O my God, I trust in Thee. I trust in Thee. He says in verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. He says in verse 20, O keep my soul and deliver me, let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in Thee. And when the psalmist speaks here about his trust, I want you to notice that in the first verse he says, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. In verse 2 he says, O my God, I trust in Thee. And he's speaking to the God of creation, and he's speaking to the God who is the covenant-keeping God. He's speaking to the one who is the Lord, the one who has all power in heaven and on earth, the God who created this world and the sun and the moon and the stars, the galaxy, the universe, the one who has all power. And he's speaking to the one, he says, oh my God, I trust in Thee. Thou art the God who, in verse 14, he says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show him His covenant. I have a personal relationship with You. You are the great Creator of all things, and yet You are my Redeemer, and You are my Savior. The little shepherd boy who minded his father's flock out there in the wilderness, David, he was the one who put his faith and trust in the good shepherd, the one who says, I am the good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep. He put his trust in the one who is the great shepherd, the one who is called the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And the little shepherd boy put his trust in the Savior. And he speaks about him. He says, Lord, lead me in verse 5 in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. So the psalmist put his trust in the shepherd. And that little shepherd boy who was to become king and who was anointed to be king and became king and sat upon the throne of Israel and had a great time of blessing. He put his trust in the one who is the sovereign God of the universe, the great Jehovah, the great I Am. And that young lad who was a shepherd, who became a sovereign, who became a soldier, a mighty warrior, and who led his people, he put his trust in the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the captain of our salvation and the captain of the Lord's host. But now we're reading about him, and he is the sorrowing one, and he has problems and he's difficulties. So he puts his trust in the Lord, and he is a man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. The old hymn says, there's not a throb nor throe that your heart can know, but Jesus feels it above. And you notice that the psalmist put his trust in the Lord, and he says there in verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. In verse 3, yea, let none of them that wait on thee be ashamed. At the end of the psalm in verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. The psalmist began to pray. He began to wait upon the Lord, and we are exhorted time and time again, wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait upon the Lord. Over there in the great prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, it says there, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the psalmist knew his troubles were many, but he put his trust in the Lord, and that trust was manifested and men could see. He says, I wait on the Lord day by day. I wait on the Lord. And he wanted to know the will of God. He says there in verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lord, why are you bringing me down this road? Why are there enemies there? Why is there rebellion in my home and my family? Why is there difficulties? Why am I pained? Why am I afflicted? Why must I suffer these things? Lord, show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. He wanted to know the will of God. He says in verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. He says in verse 9, as we already read, the meek will he guide. He wanted the Lord to guide him. He wanted in verse 16, the Lord to turn unto him. He wanted the Lord in verse 18 to look upon my affliction and my pain. In verse 19, for the Lord to consider his enemies. Verse 20, for the Lord, O keep my soul. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. You know, sometimes this old world, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul exhorts the saints of God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. And someone said, you could translate that verse as saying, don't let the world press you into its mold to make you just like it. Don't let the world press you into its mold, but rather, like the psalmist, let the Lord bend you and fashion you and shape you in his way. And so the psalmist, he waits upon God, He wants to know the will of God. He says, Lord, teach me, turn unto me, look upon me, keep my soul, consider me. But you know, he's rejoicing through the word of God. Because he says there in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. We talk sometimes about the mystery of the gospel, something that to unsaved men and women seems strange, seems a difficult thing. Before we were converted to Christ, the natural man did not comprehend the things of God. Maybe in ways they were foolishness to us. But when we came to know the Savior, then our eyes were opened. And this mystery of the gospel is no longer a mystery. And we realize the wonder and the splendor and the glory of God's wonderful salvation. Oh, the psalmist had many, many troubles. The psalmist's troubles were many. But the psalmist's trust was manifest. He learned the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He learned that the Lord had a covenant. He had a relationship, a guarantee with him. And he speaks about the Lord and his testimonies. But you'll notice the psalmist's troubles were many. The psalmist's trust was manifest. But I want you to notice the psalmist was taught by the Master. He says, teach me, show me, consider me, remember me, remember not the sins of my youth. Good and upright is the Lord. If you see a beautiful painting, you automatically say, you know, that was a master who painted that great work of art. Or in anything, we might say some musician, they're not just a musician, they're a master at that. You might see a beautiful building, they say, well, it was certainly a master architect designed that building. That's a beautiful building. Psalmist was taught by the one who is called the Master. And I always think of those words in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he, as the old gospel hymn says, a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, you must be born again. But the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he's calling him Rabbi. He's calling him Master. Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And my Jesus was all that. What a great teacher Christ was. Christ is. How he taught his disciples. Or he went up onto the mount and he sat down. He took the posture of the teacher and he sat down and he taught the multitudes. But Nicodemus says, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. And yet, in some ways, Nicodemus got it mixed up a little, because the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a teacher come from God, he is God come to teach. He is God manifest in the flesh. And the psalmist put his trust in the Lord, and the Lord would teach him. And he would teach him through his word. And as the psalmist prayed that he might know the will of God, he also had a submissive spirit, that not only might he know the will of God, that he might do the will of God. And therefore he waited patiently, and he waited obediently to receive direction. Can I just close by saying the psalmist's troubles were many, and the psalmist's trust was manifest, and the psalmist was taught by the Master. He was a disciple, a follower of the Savior. wonder, who are you following today? Are you following the Master, going by His word? You know, the Bible says that there is a way, and it seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And many men and women have their own philosophy and their own world view of things, and God is not at all in their thoughts. But the psalmist, his trust was in the Lord, and he was taught by the Master. But you notice the psalmist's triumph was marvelous. He came to the Lord in a time of great difficulty. Came in a time of desolation. Came in a time of distress. Came in a time of hardship and difficulty, and even a time of danger. You can read it there in Psalm 25. Meditate upon it. Read it again when you go home. But yet the Lord would deliver him out of them all. That's why the psalmist could say in Psalm 62 and verse 6, "Therefore I shall not be moved." That little phrase is repeated a number of times in the Psalms. And blessed is the man or the woman whose trust is in God. For when the storms of life are raging, and the tempests are wild on sea or land, or the cares and the difficulties and the problems and the hardships come, it's good to be able to say, we are firmly grounded on the rock Christ Jesus. Therefore we shall not be moved. The Lord is, Isaiah says, as a shadow of a great rock in the weary land. He is a refuge for His people. We used to give out a little gospel tract years ago. It said on the tract, "When you are in trouble, do you curse or do you pray?" The psalmist was in trouble and he prayed. This poor man cried. He says, "And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." May the Lord bless these few thoughts from His word today to our hearts for His name's sake. Perhaps we could just sing one verse of our closing hymn. It's the hymn 430. 430.